Blog Talk Radio.
And everybody should know that's how love goes. It's good for the soul.
Oh, I got a long way to go, but it won't stop the pain. No, no. That's the kind of thing that keeps me coming back again and again.
Till I see your face. Again, thank you for joining us on the Blog Talk Radio. If you're joining in with us on Facebook Live, come on in, share this video, share this post, because we're about to talk about some real stuff tonight. I'm laughing because my producer is really funny, but we're going to check in with him real soon. So welcome. Come on in again. You're tuning in live to the Healthy Soul Talk Show with your favorite therapist, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. You can follow us on all social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Healthy Soul Talk. And also, if you want to email any questions or comments, you can email takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. By the way, we're live in the studios of Taking the Limits Off on the South Side of Bronzeville area. Yes. So, thank you. I like to send a shout out while people are coming on in to this amazing producer who's given me this opportunity to talk about what I want to talk about. He's not put any restrictions on me yet. Living true to the name, taking the limits off, because that he does. And so I just want to thank you, because guess what? We made it through the first month. Yay! I'm happy. So thank you so much, and I look forward to great things. Again, thank you for joining us, tuning in live to the Healthy Soul Talk Show with your favorite therapist, Dr. Thomas. Again, if you are listening on the Blog Talk Radio, welcome, Pastor Washington. Thank you for joining us. You can dial 323-870-4375. Press 1 to get in on the show to ask your questions. Welcome, Nita D. Thank you. That's my kinfolk, too, joining in with us live. So, no, I did not start a watch party.
Go ahead.
Every week we have stuff, because I'm always doing something that is not right. Okay, then. All right, so you ready? How are you doing, Elder Reverend Dr. Dana King?
I'm doing well.
Okay.
I'm doing awesome, actually.
All right. How are you feeling today? All is well?
I'm feeling
you're in good spirit today?
I'm in great spirit. On tonight. Woman, I feel all right,
Yes,
I'm trying to get ready. I got to preach Sunday, so I got to get my mind.
Oh, yeah? Okay,
all right. I got to get my mind ready for Sunday afternoon for the, what am I preaching for Sunday afternoon?
Oh,
okay. For the 99th. Ushers program here at the Historic
Really?
Center for the 99th year, so they asked me to come and bring a word. Pray for me.
99?
Not yet. Well, the church is 117 years old.
Amazing.
Yeah, so yeah, this, amazing. This is the 99th year for
99th
the
year.
Yeah, at the historic Ebenezer.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we broadcasted from, y'all. That's what we are. But anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
so yeah.
Good stuff.
It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So if y'all ain't busy, y'all come on through and hang out with your boy.
All right.
Yeah,
there we go.
They got some food too, so you know. That's all they have for me.
Every time I hear you, you're talking about food.
Don't. Okay, let me go ahead on. You got a show to do.
All right, thank you for tuning in, and you're tuning in live to the Healthy Soul Talk Show with your girl, your favorite therapist.
I just do a show on food addiction. You should.
Food addiction?
Ain't that a mental thing, too? Eating disorder. That's it.
That's not a food addiction, though.
We can talk about it, though. I get, you know.
That's purging and vomiting and anorexia nervosa. We can go there.
Purging and vomiting, I thought that was the same thing.
Well, you can do it the other way.
Overindulging and all of that.
Well, it comes out the other
gorging,
way.
That's the word. Gorging. Gorging and then purging, yes.
Right, but you can purge the other way, out the other end. Okay, then. All right, let's get started. So, you know, we're talking about why beer and spirits tonight, right? So at Healthy Soul Talk, we are an outpatient substance use facility. So we work with those who have caught DUIs, who are trying to get their license back. They are on probation. Some of them serve time, hence they're on parole. But we also help people who have addictions or they abuse substances. And so we definitely have a special training in that area. And so we're going to get into beer, wine, and spirits, what's the difference, talking about the proof, and, you know, that one red party cup that you say I only have one drink with, you know, can actually have several drinks, all right? So we're going to talk about that tonight. So we have a poll question, right? And so the poll question is, can you drink alcohol and not get drunk? Let me explain it. So not necessarily the concept of will drinking alcohol get you intoxicated, but this is the mindset. This question is focused on when you consume alcohol, do you say to yourself, you have to get drunk, you have to feel it, you have to get a buzz, and you won't stop until you get the desired feeling. So is there a such thing as consuming alcohol without getting drunk? Okay. Got it.
And the poll is up.
I posed the other question. I try to, you know, throw out questions throughout the week, you know, and I guess people just look at it, just scroll on back.
Yeah, it's passing on.
Looking at, okay. Yeah, I'm not going to even say it. But the people who did vote, they were wine drinkers. They were wine distilled because it was two categories, beer, malt liquor, or wine or distilled liquor. So they
beer or malt liquor? Beer is beer.
Malt. Okay.
I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that because that's not technically true. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Beer and malt liquor. Okay.
All right. So here we go. You know, we always start off with fun facts.
Oh, Lord.
And so this is how we're going to get started. Now, you know, everybody. Or those who will admit that they drink and drive can admit that they may have been pulled over or they find ways to get the alcohol off of their breath or out of their system. So they like to try various things, right? So there's a myth out here that says sucking on a penny will help you pass a breathalyzer test. Sucking on a penny will help you pass a breathalyzer test. Now, this is a myth, obviously, because now here's the theory behind it. It says that it was believed that the copper somehow will conceal the alcohol, right, and fool the breathalyzer test. Now, we haven't really done a study that you know would indicate how much copper you need on your breath.
See, now
to conceal the alcohol from a breathalyzer.
Had you informed me that this is what you wanted to do, I would have gotten us a breathalyzer in here.
What?
And
that means
I
you would have had to consume
some alcohol.
No.
Washed me some paint. And then I would have I'm trying to help you. I'm
oh
trying
my
to help
goodness.
You with the study. You know, I mean, I think it would have been a wonderful experiment.
Really?
I think it would have been
really.
I wouldn't be a fan of putting pennies in my mouth, but I mean, you know, as a kid, you probably done worse. So I mean, what you know?
But thinking of, so first of all, they said that a penny only contains about 2% copper.
Okay.
So you know, you sitting there, you know, munching on a penny, trying to.
I think it's not really munching. I think it's more just like.
That's, you still got to do some serious copper to be.
Well, you put a few of them in there. I think if you put like a couple of pennies, like about four or five of them, just to get the. After you're done.
Yeah, after you're done, but you know the alcohol is set there, so hopefully all your judgment
if
is still there.
If you don't actually swallow the penny. Good point.
So it's not true. All right.
And so it's not
sucking on a penny.
It's not true.
Right, will not fool a breathalyzer test. Got it? All right. So here's another.
How do you know it's not true?
Because some folk have still.
So
there was
somebody
did
try. Okay,
yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
You know, it's all online. Hey, you know, if you want to fool the breathalyzer, suck on the penny.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
First, you have to have a penny, though, right?
Okay.
That's interesting in itself that you just pick one up off the car floor and throw it on in there, huh? It's a piece of candy.
Okay.
All right, so here's the next one. It says here that some people claim that despite blacking out from binge drinking, all of their memories from the blackout come back to them in a flash.
Wait, hold on. What's that one now? I missed that.
There are some people who claim
mm-hmm.
that despite blacking out
mm-hmm.
from binge drinking,
mm-hmm.
all of their memories from the blackout came back to them in a flash.
I don't believe that to be true.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so they say that according to these studies, these are actually false memories. Blackouts cannot be recalled.
Did your video stop over there?
It did.
Yeah, they just said it was an error uploading your video. So, but keep going.
All right. There we go. So blackouts. All right. First of all, you must consume an excessive amount of alcohol, hence binge drinking. And no, you cannot recall the memories once you black out. You just don't tap into some, you know, mysterious powers to remember what events took place during the time that you blacked out.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, yeah, there we go. Okay. All right, so as we keep going, thank you for joining us on the Blog Talk Radio. If you're tuning in and you want to make a comment, dial 323-870-4375. Again, that's 323-870-4375. Press 1 to get in to make that comment. We appreciate that. Tonight we're going to be talking about beer, wine and spirits, also some common DUI laws. We know that the holidays are coming around, and you know it is what it is. This is the holiday season when people are consuming more alcohol around this time because social gatherings are increasing, even to the extent where people are stressing out. So we know that liquor sales generally increases around this time, and so does people drinking and driving. All right, so there we go. Go ahead, get your questions together. If you want to email your questions, you can do that at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. It is anonymous, so if you would not like to be acknowledged as in, you know, your name, we won't do that. But if you do have a question or comment, you want to just email it, you can do that at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. All right. should we take a break, or we want to keep going?
That was all of your fun facts? You only had the two?
I only had the two because we have things to talk about.
All right, we're going to take a quick break so we can get back on,
all right.
On Facebook. Yeah, so we can get back to the Facebook thing. Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
Did you tell the people you take a break? See, you just turned stuff down and just, I guess.
We're going to take a quick break. We got some mixes going on, some house music.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get it, because, you know, it's time to loosen up a little bit. All right, we'll be right back. In a little sleep there with Facebook. We're still live on the Blog Talk Radio. My Facebook picked us out. Maybe we were about to talk about the things that the people needed to know. So, you know, they just did what they did. So come on in. Join us. Join back live with us. Get the questions ready. Get the comments ready. But we're going to keep it moving, all right, because we want to make sure, you know, we get as much information out there as possible. And so we'll go from there. My click it is
I'm curious though, why you're doing that. So is it because the holiday season is around the corner why you decided to go this route with the beer, wine, and spirit?
Yes, because it's actually the time of year where the increase in DUI arrests significantly.
Right.
So around this time, like literally starting right now. So laws change, or, you know, we add laws every year. So a lot of people don't know about the new laws and what that means for your DUI arrest in itself and conviction. So you may think at one point it's a misdemeanor. However, there are changes to certain laws that it could be an actual aggravated DUI. Say, for instance, when I talk about driving the wrong way down the street, right now is considered a higher class of a conviction. Right, so you know, people don't, you know, particularly know that.
So I know you mentioned, you'll probably get into it too. I know you mentioned, Alcohol purchases go up around this time. Yeah, but I think that's just because it's in my apartment.
Well, that too.
That's just my town, too. I mean, you know, because it's like everybody's doing parties, so it's like I ain't gonna blame it all on alcohol.
Did you just say on the alcoholic?
Right.
So really? We okay.
I don't blame it on everybody. I'm just saying, you know.
Thank you, Kiki, for joining us. Please share this video. Hey, Latonya, how you doing? But because you know what? Everybody, you know, likely to everybody bring alcohol to a party. We have a lot of bring your own, you know, alcohol, your beverages, get some people to share. So sometimes people, when you say, okay, do you monitor what you drink? The fair answer is no, I don't. But because around this time there are more social gatherings happening, right? This is how people get into trouble. And if you're not an Uber person, you know, then you definitely could be in trouble. So, you know, we just want to educate people, you know, about this thing, about drinking and driving. Now, if we keep it real, there are people who drink and drive all the time, right? And,
yeah.
And so meaning, you know, when we say drink and drive, we do mean literally that after consuming your last drink, you actually leave within 10, 15 minutes. Right, so it's not where you stay there. You know, we're gonna talk about what your body needs to do to metabolize the alcohol out. So when you think about weaving in traffic, running red lights, all these things that give the tips that you're intoxicated, the alcohol sets in while you're driving.
Oh, those are tips that you're intoxicated when you weave in out of traffic.
Yes, sir. See,
I'm intoxicated all the time, then.
Well, are you drinking and driving?
No, but I weave in out of traffic.
Are you swerving? Are you
slide to the left? reverse.
Unbelievable.
I'm just asking questions. I'm just trying to help the people. I want to make sure the people are clear on all these different signs and wonders. That's just fun.
Oh, good. So.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about alcohol.
Okay.
All right. And the key ingredient here that gets us intoxicated is ethanol. Right? So we label alcohol beverages. That's our
ethanol.
Ethanol.
E-T-H-A-N-O-L?
Yes.
The same stuff they put in my cup?
Uh-huh.
Oh!
Yeah. There we go. Okay. All right. There's a recipe for that. So listen here. I want to first kind of get some stuff out the way. So it says here that moderate drinking, right? Because we know that there are people who drink wine with dinner. It's a very, you know, some cultures look at, you know, consuming alcohol as a cultural practice, right? And so it says here that moderate drinking consists of drinking about 2 drinks per day, up to. And we're going to talk about what is actually a drink, right? So a drink is not based on the cup you have, right? So you know, we're going to talk about the red party cups. I got my sample glasses here to show, right? We're going to talk about proofs of alcohol. No, we do not have alcohol in the studio, although my producer suggested to bring it in because he will test.
I was going to help you with the study.
You can't do a study with just 2 people.
Well, I was just, you know, why not? What was the purpose?
You don't
of the
represent the population.
I was. I am an equal opportunity person. I am here for the people. I believe in helping the people. And if you would have brought alcohol, we kindly would have came. We could have invited some folks. We could have did a real
so
study.
We are just up in here.
But no, you were going to be doing your show. You were going to be doing your show.
Tanya, you would have came in.
Man, look here. Tanya would have came. Who else going to get it? Danielle would have came. Look, Felicia would have. All people coming tonight. Everybody would have came.
Sister Angela would have to come and pray over us and make sure, you know, everything is okay.
What are you drinking too? What are you talking about? What is this? That? I'm trying to get home there. Look here. You were trying to do a proper study. I'm just saying we could have had people in here lined up. Now, Pastor Harold, Pastor Harold participates in libation. He could have came in and, you know, it would have just been communion for us.
Okay, let's get into it. So first of all, right.
Come on, go ahead.
I welcome everybody. We're trying to keep, you know, saved up in here, but clearly we talked about beer, wine, and spirits. We're gonna talk about how you know when you're drunk, right? What's drinking too much? We're gonna talk about these high proof alcohols.
Jesus told his mama, keep the body going. That's what he said.
That is not, you gotta put the cork. Look at all those hearts.
See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying?
Really? All right, so here's the poll question. The poll question
is,
yes, you do. So here's the poll question. Can you drink alcohol and not get drunk? And what I mean by that is, can you actually drink and say to yourself, I'm not getting drunk, or my intention is not to get drunk? Is that possible to drink alcohol without the intention of not getting drunk? All right, so it says here that, according to some standards here, it's okay for men to drink up to 2 drinks per day. Women, sorry, they say we can only have up to 1 drink per day, right?
Like,
and if you over 65, they say you shouldn't have more than 1 drink a day. All right. So when we think about that, all right, we're gonna talk about proof. So this is vital because when we buy alcohol, you know, on the back of the bottle, it gives you the volume, the volume.
Uh-huh.
Alcohol by volume. So you may see beer, right? A 12-ounce can of beer. Typically, beer is about 5% alcohol. We translate that to proof. Just double it, it's 10 proof, right? And so that means you have 1 can of beer at 12 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
It's considered 1 standard drink.
So that's 1 proof.
No.
That's 10%.
10 proof.
10 proof.
Right.
Oh, okay.
10 proof.
Yeah, 5%. Yeah.
But listen, that Coke 45, 40 ounce, is not 1 drink. Because people get that mixed up sometimes when you say, well, how many beers did you have? A standard drink is 1 beer at 5% alcohol volume, which equates to 10 proof. All right?
Yeah.
So you buy 22-ounce cans of Heineken, right? Coronas come a little larger.
Dissect
it. I'm trying to be serious. That's more than 1 drink. All right? So, that's where we at, okay? So we got it, beer.
Okay.
You can actually have more than 1 beer in a can, depending on how many ounces it is. All right? 40 ounces, that's sloppy.
Oh, the 40 ounce?
Yeah.
Man, look here. You know, back in the day.
Back in the day, really?
Back in the day. Let me tell you how much I can tell.
Oh, God.
Back in the day.
God.
This is my show. I tell it all, but this ain't my show. But back in the day, a 40 ounce of, you know, the people who were from the hood.
Oh, Lord.
You know, regular ghetto folk was drinking a 40 ounce of Old English, or as they say, the hood, Old E.
Uh-huh.
Or if you knew it, it was some 8-ball, right? But then those of us who were bougetto, as I like to say, bougetto, we drank a 40 ounce of what they like to call, watch this now, private stock.
Private stock. All
right. Private stock was a wonderful thing.
All right.
Private stock can make you walk down the street with your head leaned to the left.
So disclaimer, this is not to give any triggers to anybody.
Right.
Go out and get nothing. You hear me? Don't go get nothing. All right. So listen, let's go on to the next one, right?
Yeah.
So that's beer.
Yeah.
So we all on the same page. The higher the proof of the beer, right? Remember.
You can answer the poll question, by the way.
Okay, you drinking more than 1 beer, all right? So that 40 ounce is about, you know, 3 beers, right? Because it's 40 ounce, 12, 24, 36. That's 3.5 beers.
Yeah, yeah.
All right? So when we say, how many beers did you have, and you had 240, right?
That's 1 beer.
That's about 7 beers.
1 beer.
Moving on.
It's one bottle. If someone asked me how many beers did you have, I had one bottle of beer.
That's why we're here. That's why we're talking about it.
It's one bottle. I know what you're trying
it's
to help
one
us.
Bottle, but it's not a standard drink.
I'm going to say I had one.
Okay, that's your story. You stick it to
I wouldn't be lying. It was one bottle.
Okay. Okay. So let's go on to the next level. Any wine drinkers out there? Now we have some folks logged on now, right? Mm. Give me some hearts if you are wine drinkers, if you like a good wine.
What? Do you drink wine, Dr. Thomas?
Listen, this show is not about me. Drink, but I like sweet wine, so it really has to be a really sweet red wine.
A sweet red.
Yes.
Sweet.
Sweet red wine. Okay.
Dad. I used to be carrying this.
All right, so here we go.
Okay, go ahead.
So listen, some people think wines don't have different proofs. All right, mm-hmm. So we want to get some stuff out the way.
Come on. Help us.
So,
help the people.
Here's a 12-ounce, all right? Mm-hmm. Here's a 12-ounce glass of a wine glass, okay? But we already know that 5% volume, 10 proof alcohol is a standard drink. Wine in itself can range from 5 on up to 20% alcohol, which is at 40 proof. Right when we translate it. So mm-hmm. some things here is that not all wines are created equal, mm-hmm. right? They have different values. Mm-hmm. And so depends on where you get. White wine generally is on average 10% volume, 20%, right, 20 proof, okay? So you can't have as much of it, all mm-hmm. right? And so when you think about that, for instance, if I have this 12-ounce glass here, and my wine is, it is empty because I was not bringing any alcohol up in here, okay, and we up in here taste testing.
You was going to be doing the show. I, once again, volunteered last week, I let it be known last week on these very ether waves that I was going to sacrifice myself.
Listen, okay, we're not doing that.
Especially a good white wine, a nice...
Right.
Sauvignon Blanc.
So Chardonnay. In essence, you go from a 12-ounce can of beer with the wine at the proof that I have, you can only have 5 to 6 ounces. Got it? So here is the appropriate wine glass.
That's a champagne flute.
Okay, but this is how much
wine.
You can have.
First of all, what you will not do, I know this ain't my show, but what you will not do is sit up here and mislead the people. I just can't sit here. That is what's called a champagne flute.
I brought this in for ounces.
Okay, but that's a champagne flute.
Okay.
I just want to make sure we use the correct vernacular.
This is.
You know, that's.
Okay.
That's for more of a sparkling or prosecco.
It's what you get when you go on the cruises and
you know,
all of that stuff.
Or a little, what's the thing they give you in the morning? The drink with the orange juice.
Mimosa.
The mimosa. Yeah, mimosa or something like that, you know. That is not a glass for a Sauvignon Blanc or a Pinot Blanc or a Barbier or
you
Riesling.
You appear to know a lot about alcohol.
No, I am a connoisseur
of
fine libation. I'm trying to help the people. Verde Chico or a Blanco. Any of those wonderful.
If you all can only see when I see how his eyes are closed while he's talking about these wines. Somebody's having a flashback. Is Pastor Washington still on here? I think he was sending up a prayer. thing right. We on the wrong track right now. We are so wrong.
So far, the poll says, again, the poll question was, what was the poll question?
Can you drink and not get drunk?
Can you drink and not get drunk? If I can see, I'll be all right. It says 75% of people said yes, you can drink and not get drunk. 25% of people said no.
All right.
Right now, it says that.
Okay.
25% people said no.
All
and
right.
Nobody
fair
said
enough.
I'm not sure yet.
All right. So the wine is about 10%, right, average, which equates to 20 proof,
yes.
Right? And so we have the Moscato white wine. They have a little less than 5-7% alcohol. Again,
because
I'm trying not to laugh at you. I can't do it. I psyched myself up to believe we were going to be serious.
I'm good.
Right? But you were so excited when I said this last week. Okay. So the Moscatos have a little less. You know, it's a good coconut Moscato out there.
Oh, now you want to talk about
it. I just thought I'd say that. All right.
Coconut?
Yeah.
Nobody want to drink coconut. I tell you, you want coconut juice.
Anyway, what? Chardonnay may have 13-14.5%. So you can see how we increase, which means that the higher the proof, keep this in mind, the less of it you can have for it to be a standard drink. All right. The higher end wines can go up to 18 proof. Got it? The Zinfandels, California Zinfandels, those type of drinks. All right. So those are the wines. So understanding. That a typical standard wine drink is about 5 ounces, right? So my flute right here.
Yeah, had you told me you didn't have a proper wine glass, I would have helped you. Because that other glass, that first one you showed, that is more got from there, the one you held up earlier, the big one. That's more of a something that they would use for beer or that's actually a water glass. Actually, I just wanted to help you with the people. Well, I know what you're
saying. All right. So anyway, people do put alcohol in these glasses.
Yeah, it's more of a water or beer they would serve in that particular glass.
You're not necessarily talking about in restaurants.
You're talking at home?
Right. Most people.
But those are uncouth people with no.
Now you trying to be bougie?
Huh?
People don't always drink at the restaurant. That's where most of the drinking happens when they're getting their DUI. They're coming from a house party. They're coming from a social gathering.
You ain't drinking a lot. I don't use red cups. I don't believe in putting alcohol. The red cups is a sign of that you're not that intelligent.
Okay. So let's move on to liquor, shall we?
Oh, liquor. What kind are we talking about? Let's go.
All right, whiskey.
Hey! I don't really drink it, but I know about it.
All right, so the Jack Daniels, Jim Beams, Crown Royals, Johnny Walker's, Wild Turkey, right, Fireball Cinnamon Flavored Whiskey.
Single malt, rye, malt whiskey, Canadian whiskey. Yeah.
Really?
Huh?
Well, I thought you weren't familiar with it.
But I did tell you I was one who enjoyed a fine libation. I know my stuff. I was trained by the best, the late, great, loving G. McCurtis. Yeah, so I know all about, Japanese makes it Japanese wonderful whiskey. Blended malt, grain.
So listen, Jack Daniels, all right? We talk about proof because this actually is not on the back of the bottle, meaning we see mostly volume, right? Mm-hmm. So you see 40% volume, which translates to 80 proof alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
All right. At a standard drink, when we talk about 80 proof, this is actually a serving size of it. One and a half ounces.
That is correct.
Okay, so this is a serving size at 80 proof, 40% volume alcohol.
Yeah.
This is one drink.
Absolutely. That is a shot.
Okay.
Glass.
Listen, we know you know your alcohol, all right?
I'm a Baptist preacher, but I went to Catholic school.
This is for a demonstration purpose only, all right?
Okay.
This is a serving size at 40 proof. Now, let's compare something. Here's my 10-ounce cup.
Okay.
All right, this is 10 ounces. This is 10 ounces.
Paul's going to take a mistake on identification. LaTanya, please see Dr. Thomas for props, so she's going to need some help with her props going forward. Please make sure she has the proper stuff for her props. Please consult with LaTanya so you have
problems. This is what people drink.
Ain't nobody. Girl, that's a chili cup. You done took that cup. That's a soup cup from Mariano. Lord,
actually, it's not. This is at my office for people who drink water.
I got some chicken noodle soup in that cup from Whole Foods.
But so listen, this is what people describe. Like, what people describe.
Okay, go ahead.
So this is 10 ounces.
That's 10 ounces.
So if I fill this cup up,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
10 ounces.
Yeah.
1.5, right?
Okay.
Ounces is all I can have of this.
Right.
How many drinks is in this 10-ounce cup?
That's 9 drinks.
Right.
Right.
A little bit of
right.
Under, right? So most people, when they say, okay, this is the cup that I have, right? They will say, all I have was one drink.
Right.
When I say, what did you have to drink? And they say, we're going to pick one, some Crown Roy.
Oh.
I already know that technically you have more than one drink. Let's say if it was half full, right? 5 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We already know that you're still over 2 drinks at this point,
okay.
Because you could have mixed it with, you know, some Coca-Cola, whatever it is you mix, or you drink it straight.
Okay.
But that's what people mix up, is that even if you have this quote-unquote small cup,
okay,
this is a standard serving size. This is one drink.
Okay.
We don't typically measure this, right? So nobody really at home says, you know, hey, let me get my appropriate measuring tool to say, okay, let me just, you know, transfer the liquor from here to there, right? We just take the bottle and pour it in the cup.
Okay. And at home, sense. This is correct. Now, if I was, when I'm making a, when I'm making a margarita, a proper margarita, I use a shot glass to measure my tequila.
Okay.
I know that's, is tequila on the list tonight?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, bless it. Ah, we still moving. I just wanted to make sure we were going up. I
made
sure we were gonna move up, upward bound, because we were kind of laying in the. We gonna come up out of this thing, you know, because you started off real Lutheran. I don't know if you get the Pentecostal. Ah, glory! Come on.
So, house parties don't generally measure.
No.
What they drink.
No, they just pouring.
Right, so they
in
can
the
either pass
cup.
Around the pint.
Right.
Or the fifth.
Can we bring
we didn't do that. I told you I was not driving in my car with no empty bottles and get pulled
empty.
Over.
Why are they gonna be empty?
Who's gonna drink it?
This is for demonstration purposes. You know, when you go to the store and they have the person that does demos.
Who was going to do the demo?
I.
Oh my
me,
God.
I volunteer to help you. That's why I am here.
Okay.
To help the people.
So listen,
I'm the people's pastor.
Do you know there's you? I need some more.
See, now if you brought you something to drink, you'd have been all right. Tanya spit all over the microphone. If you brought you something to drink, you wouldn't need that water. Come
listen.
On. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
There are some whiskeys that exceed 80 proof.
Yeah.
All right. Wild Turkey.
Wild Turkey.
Is 81 proof.
Oh my goodness.
Maker's Mark is 90 proof.
Come on, old granddad.
Evan Williams.
Evan, that would be Evan, not even. You'd be a little uneven when you get them drinking it, but that would be Evan.
86 proof. And then Southern Comfort.
Southern?
That's 70 proof.
Southern Comfort.
Right. So you can. So remember, if this is a standard drink, the higher the proof, the less of this you can have, right? So we're looking at 90 proof. You probably one standard drink will be about an ounce.
Not 1.5 ounces.
No, because that's.
But that is a standard shot glass.
It's a standard shot glass.
So what would happen is, some people would go to the bar. Okay, so here's the deal. So you know, bars now, because of trying to keep up with money and everything, they have these measurers that
they
attach
to
the bottles.
They do.
And
they
those
do.
Bottles release the exact amount.
Yeah.
And in some cases, it is 1.5. It will be exactly what the shot glass would entail. And then if you put in, because the computers control it, you put in what it is, they know how much liquor
it
entails. So it would release just that amount. No, the people at home, ain't nobody measuring.
No, no.
Yeah. You pour until I can taste it.
So the vodkas are pretty standard.
Uh-oh.
Vodkas are pretty much at the 80 proof, right? Red Bull, Belvedere, Ciroc, right? Absolute, Sky, right? Smirnoff, Pinnacle, Burnett. You drink all these?
Did you say Smirnoff? Ooh, Lord. Smirnoff. I believe you say, ooh, good Lord, Smirnoff. Did you up here? What did you see? Grey Goose was about as good as you. Did you? You didn't say Stolen the Child.
No. That's on here.
Stolies?
Yes.
Stolies
is on here.
Come on now. Stolies will bless your spirit in more ways than one.
I need you to stop having flashbacks.
Look here, you know, when I was in college, you know, we used to make this, I can't give you too much of me, but we used to make this thing called Q oil. We used to make this thing called Q oil. part of the situation was that, you know, you use certain stuff inside the potion. That's all I have for you. Come on.
You had that perfect.
And then
drink.
Russians make wonderful vodka.
So, next on is gin.
Kettle One. Oh, what? I got to go now.
All right.
I ain't going to talk during the gin.
Seagram's, Gordon, Tanqueray, New Amsterdam, what, Hendrick, Bombay. Bombay is at 94%.
Bombay.
What's
it called? Because the bottle had those bumps on it. Bombay. Felicia says, Smirnoff is when you run out of money. We need a little shop.
Oh, God.
What? Why we have to gin? It's okay, go ahead. I'm going to share that story.
No, you don't share any more stories.
I'm just saying,
no more stories.
You talked about the blacking out thing, though.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And about the thing about waking up and remembering or coming back. No.
Yes.
Mm-mm. Jen, I can tell you that study was done. That study was done. That's how Joshua Kenyon King came into the world. Because
You don't remember it, though.
No, because I was out of it.
Let's go on to the rum, shall we?
Yeah,
the rum.
Oh, now we're talking. Now you're graduating. Come on.
Malibu, Captain Morgan, Appleton, who we got? Rugal, McDowell's, Bacardi, Havana Club, Montilla. What else you want to add to the list? Because I already know it's probably someone here that you just, you know.
There is the best rums, first of all, comes from the best rums. What did you say?
What?
The best rums come from Jamaica.
Okay.
You know, I got an accent on it. The best rum comes from Jamaica. There's this thing in Jamaica that got the best. Appleton makes the best rum.
Okay.
You want to drink rum, you want to drink it from Jamaica. Because it is the best rum. They have the best rum. Appleton Estates, Ray and Nephew, then there's Appleton Estates 12 year.
All right.
Huh? It's going to be real smooth. I promise you.
So here's.
Change your life.
Here's where we say, okay, how much do you really drink? Because now we tip it to mixed drinks, right? Right? So here are some comments. So I'll tell you what my experience with the DUIs. Most of the time, in terms of people not knowing how many drinks they really have, the Long Island iced teas.
Oh.
Right? Those have multiple liquors in them. So people don't know that's over three drinks, right? Because they have several liquors in them, right? Mm-hmm. And this is another one. I'm only going to say the first word because, you know, the second word is kind of far out there. Blue, right? M-Efforts.
What? Let me get the button ready for Dr. Thomas.
Another one. that we typically see as well, where people, when they say, mm-hmm. I had 2 to 3 drinks, right?
The Blue Mf-ers.
Right, or the Long Island iced tea.
Yeah, because Long Island iced tea has tequila, rum, yep. vodka, mm-hmm. Gin, triple sec, and rum.
You know these ingredients too well.
I also bartended a little.
Really?
In private.
Okay. So, cocktails.
Ah!
All right, cocktails will get you in some serious trouble.
Did you bring a shaker?
No.
Oh.
I have. Here you go. This is.
Oh, Lord, that she bought a martini glass. That is a martini glass. That is a proper, that is, I will be considered something for this drink. No, that's proper. You're good now.
Okay.
You're good.
All right.
Yeah.
So we have the Long Island iced tea,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, back a little, when I was a little younger, I used to like the Mai Tai, right? So really be careful with that.
Black people drink Mai Tai. I'm sorry. I wasn't aware that black folks drank Mai Tai.
Really? So you're trying to say.
You thought you called me bougie. I drink the Mai Tai. What is the Mai Tai?
So you have the painkillers, right?
Yeah.
Painkiller. The vodka martini.
Vodka. Come on now. Vodka
right,
martini.
Right. The white ladies, the jungle birds, the hangy pankies, right? The amaretto sours, right? These are drinks that, you know, we know we could go to an establishment to get it, but we also
mm-hmm.
make it
mm-hmm.
right when we have social gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
So this is important because, as you plainly stated, not having the right glass, right, will get you in some trouble.
Right.
So I brought that.
The other drink that I made one time called Silk Penny, and that drink is, you serve that in a, what's it called? In a martini glass.
Okay.
It is an amazing
no
drink. It's Kettle One. It's Kettle One, vodka,
okay.
and peach, it's like a peach tree, peach is not, so a peach tree liquor.
Okay.
And
okay.
peach bitters. And it's an amazing drink.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So. I just can't believe we just went all the way on this liquor education here.
Ain't that what we do
right.
on this show?
Unbelievable. So listen.
Okay.
So we talk about that, right?
Yeah.
In terms of how many drinks do you really have?
In a mixed drink.
In a mixed drink,
Oof.
Right? In addition to, we started out with the beer.
Right.
Right? We started out with the beer saying, hey, if you have over a 12-ounce can of beer, you
mm-hmm.
already know you're technically drinking more than one standard drink.
Because those guys, when they go out, at least back in the day, it's been a minute since I've been out. But you go out back in the day, you
mm-hmm.
get a beer, and then you get a drink.
Right.
Right? So
right.
you have your beer.
Right.
But then you have, say,
right.
I'll just keep it simple for people, a Jack and Coke.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
you got beer, which is how much alcohol is in a 12-ounce? What is that one again?
That's 10 proof.
10 proof.
Right.
All right.
That's
and
a
then,
standard.
Right.
Like
and then you get
day.
A Jack and Coke, which would be 1.5 ounces in some cases if
right.
they're measuring it.
If they measured it.
1.5 ounces with a splash of Coke.
Right. Right.
Because you can't use Pepsi. It's a different type of situation. It don't work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we all on the same page, right? So most people identify the red party cup because that's the standard cup,
mm-hmm.
right, at social gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and so when we say how many drinks did you have, what's that time frame, right, we look at, okay, how long does alcohol, stay in the body?
Uh-oh.
Right?
Talk about
so when you think about that, so one standard drink, we back to one standard drink, needs
okay.
about 1 hour to metabolize out of your body. All right? So when you think about that, and you say, okay, can I sit here? Because time is the only thing that can metabolize it out of your body. We're going to get to that in a minute. People think drinking coffee, doing all this activity,
mm-hmm.
right, does that, and it does not. right? So people don't really understand that when it comes to time is what's needed to actually metabolize it out. So
1 hour
for one standard drink. So most of us, you know, and I say us because, you know, we're all human. We consume typically more than one drink, right, within the hour. So you need more time.
Okay.
So it says here, first of all, when you first drink alcohol, a certain percentage goes directly into your blood. Right, and then the rest gets metabolized through.
Okay.
So you start to feel the effects within 15, you know, to 45 minutes after the first drink. Alcohol can stay in the blood, up to 6 hours.
Mm.
All right. It can stay on your breath for 12 to 24 hours.
My.
It can stay in your saliva for 12 to 24 hours. It can stay in your urine for 12 to 24 hours, and it actually stays in your hair for 90 days.
So alcohol, not reefer. Really? 90 days?
90 days. When you think about that, most sometimes people use hair samples to see what kind of drugs people are.
Right, I know. Back in the day, when a lot of friends of mine was starting working at CTA, they say that's how CTA used to take their tests for people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they would ask people
to
have the back of
your head.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was one of those things where people don't understand. Like, okay, if you drink multiple drinks, right, it's going to stay in your body longer. Hence, when you're driving, you feel the effect of driving, or you pass out at the wheel, right? So I've known people to get to a red light and pass out. People who have pulled over, right, in a parking space, right, and fell asleep. So it really gets to, you know, understanding that you can be driving and feel the peak of the alcohol while you are driving. All right. And so, you know, people need to know that it can stay in your system. The more you drink in one setting, the longer you need. So if you consume, you know, let's just say 10, 12 drinks, right, which is equivalent to almost 3 to 4 Long Island iced teas, right, you need that amount of time to recuperate. Right? You need that amount of time to recover. So you can very well, if you stop drinking at midnight and get up and try to go to work the next day, you can very well be pulled over and charged with a DUI because your BAC might still be at a 0.08. We know it was way higher than that, but your BAC level can still be there. All right? And hence we have some issues where people say, well, I stopped drinking at midnight, right, and I got, you know, pulled over at 2 o'clock. Well, how much did you really drink? Right, for it to stay in your body. Okay.
Wow.
So talking about that, it says here, how do you know when you are drunk?
Oh, how do you know?
Right? Any answers out there?
How
on the blog talk side, if you want to post there, how do you know when you is there such thing as tipsy, or is drunk just drunk? I hear crickets.
Was I supposed to say something?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were trying to get, you know.
Since you're talking about all this, you know.
There is, I know that they said there's no such thing as, what is it, being buzzed. I know that's the commercial that they play.
Right.
There's no buzz driving and all that kind of stuff, right? But, you know, we say tipsy and all that. Tipsy and then drunk, and then there's messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, tipsy, drunk, and because I'm in the studio, messed up is the word that I'm going to use. Messed up is when you're drinking and you can no longer taste what you're drinking. That means, when your tongue is numb, you should probably it's too late.
Felicia says, when the floor is your friend, you're done.
What? Oh, when the floor, yes, huh? And when you're praying to the porcelain God, come on now. When you're praying around that cool spot, when you just want to lay next to the, where it's cool at, like a cat, you just want to lay there, That's when you know you done had.
So listen, so signs of intoxication. So typically we say when your blood alcohol content level, which is the BAC, right, 0.05 is where you begin to feel the effects, right? So you can feel, you know, your coordination shifting, your judgment can become impaired. We know that legally 0.08, you are considered legally drunk. Right, if you do a breathalyzer, so that's automatically.
Is that everywhere? Or is that Illinois?
That's Illinois. Okay. So I don't really know other places. At 0.07, we've identified that your driving abilities can be impaired. So people say, if we often say that if you have to tell yourself I'm okay to drive, you should not drive.
If you tell yourself,
if you tell yourself I'm cool, I can get home. You're giving yourself a pep talk. You're convincing yourself you're okay. We don't do that. When we leave work, we just walk right out the door, right? We don't question our abilities to drive. So if you have to begin to think about or really say to yourself, I can make it. I'm only a few blocks away. I'm going to just get on this expressway. You know, you have to think about those things and say, often we say that was the moment where you should have not, you know, got behind the wheel.
Okay.
If you have
okay.
to convince yourself you're okay to drive.
Okay.
Right? So lowered inhibitions, right? We often say that you are officially, quote unquote, intoxicated if you're at a 0.1. Right? Remember we started at 0.05.
Right.
Your blood alcohol concentrates at 0.10. By 0.20, your consciousness starts to decrease.
Your consciousness?
Yes. So slurred speech. You know, you start, you know, wobbling and you know, all kind of stuff starts happening in your confusion, right? Difficulty concentrating, loss of certain motor skills, right? And so we ultimately say when you get to 0.30, typically you should be unconscious, right? So 0.30 is a pretty high BAC. I've seen some BAC levels hitting at 0.27, and the person was actually driving at the time. We know that that's increased tolerance, which is a whole other issue if you don't drink that much.
We're not talking about increased tolerance tonight.
No, we're not. We don't do
that. You should do a part two of this. I think you should come back and do this. I think you ought to have this, bring this discussion back. Let me look at the calendar. Go ahead.
So, there's a euphoria. So that comes with drinking, right? So people get giddy, they get, you know, fun, they start dancing, they really come out of this shell, right? So we often hear where, you know, drinking helps me socialize. So, right, the more you drink, the more fun you say you're typically having.
So I'm looking at the calendar.
What?
I just look at the calendar because I want to confirm. I'm going to assume that you're not going to be doing your show on the last Tuesday of December, which happens to be New Year's Eve.
That
I'm just going
correct.
To assume there won't be a healthy soul talk
on
New Year's Eve, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so we're going to assume that are you doing your show on December? I'm assuming you're not doing your show on Christmas Eve.
No.
December 24th. So what I'm looking at then would be December 17th.
Uh-huh. We want to come back.
I think you should come back and revisit
this
to prepare the people for the New Year experience. I'm
Got
just
it.
Wondering. I
Got
mean,
it.
If you do your show on Christmas Eve, you know, I mean, hey, go for it. But I, you
we
know,
want to be with our families.
Okay, I'm just saying. I just want to, you know, I'm all about people doing their stuff. You know, I've done shows on Christmas Eve.
Lord help them.
And all
Lord
that.
Lord help them.
You know.
Okay. All right, so we got it. You have euphoria, you get excited, but with that comes, you know, slurred speech, your coordination is off. Now, we have addressed the issue, and you brought up college a little earlier, where we had people dying of alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, I just saw Felicia's comment. She said, my son called me a couple of weeks ago because his friend's mom had been drinking at her house, and she was supposed to drop him off.
Okay.
And I'm so glad he didn't get in the car with her. He's 16.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, alcohol poisoning is a real deal.
Yes. And so we're used to saying, okay, you go and you do these binge drink, you know, these binge drinking episodes,
mm-hmm.
and you put them in a room by themselves and you lay them on their back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at 0.3, you know, between 0.25 and 0.30 and up,
mm-hmm.
your brain is literally shutting down. Alcohol is a depression.
Yeah.
So it stops sending directions. So
yeah.
it's not telling you to breathe. It's not telling you to turn over. You're about to vomit.
Or you're choking. Right.
And you're choking on your own vomit. So we do know we've had to educate, you know, college students on the concept of binge drinking, because just because you don't drink often does not mean that you won't have some fatal effects, right, of alcohol consumption
mm-hmm.
At those times. So it's pretty serious on college campuses
with the
binge drinking and the, you know, either in the ER for drug overdose or,
mm-hmm.
you know, alcohol poison. Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever had alcohol poison?
I have not, sir. I just told you what my drinks were. There are many.
I'm not talking about, I'm sure at some point you've lived your life, you know, before you was Dr. Thomas.
That wasn't the angle. That's a whole nother show.
Oh, okay. Because I know what alcohol poison feels like. I'm just
really?
Yeah.
What were you drinking?
Everything.
Why? Like what? Were you partying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Why did you look like that?
I didn't remember what was going on, but my friend's
right.
father had passed away.
Oh.
And he was depressed.
Okay.
So we decided that we were going to go get some stuff to drink, and we lit the barbecue grill at 1 o'clock in the morning on the front porch. And,
okay.
Yeah, and we just drank all night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was in 1995.
A lot of stuff was going on in
1995.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, yes. So the symptoms range for intoxication,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
And so we escalate with the word intoxication. All right, you feel slightly tipsy. Well, inebriated, you know, these fancy words we've created. Drunk is drunk, right? And when you get behind the wheel, anything can happen. So Lakeshore Drive, for me, is the most dangerous expressway. Many people drive down Lakeshore Drive the wrong way, right, when they're under the influence. And so one of the things I don't understand is that, you know, how Lakeshore Drive does that. But hey, who am I to try to figure that out? So that is where we see, you know, when you talk about the DUI laws, you can be arrested or pulled over, right? And if you are assumed to be under the influence,
mm-hmm.
They can, you know, ultimately offer you to get out the vehicle
mm-hmm.
and give you a breathalyzer,
right?
Right? And so even if you you're under 0.08. and you fail to feel sobriety, you can mm-hmm. be charged with a DUI.
That's why you tell them no.
We're going to talk about why you shouldn't say no, but I'm just saying in terms of your options. So I'm going to give you your options of what you think
okay.
may happen.
Okay.
And it doesn't go the same for everybody, because clearly I know that some people have been given a pass, right? But other people, when they're not so fortunate, right?
Right.
The concept of declining doesn't work, right?
Mm.
Okay. So some stats here. DUI law says if you are at a 0.08 and that's what you blow, you are considered, you know, having a DUI arrest. You can also be pulled over for any drug that you use. So whether that's prescribed medication,
mm-hmm.
even though you have a medical marijuana card, clearly it says do not operate a motor vehicle, right, under the use of cannabis, even if it's for medical purposes. You also can't ride around with it in an open view. It must be in the appropriate container,
mm-hmm.
right? Tamper-evident container and kept in an area that is inaccessible while driving, while the vehicle is in motion.
Mm.
Hence, you can get an illegal transportation of alcohol if you have an open container or a cup in your car with alcohol in it.
A red cup.
So, we got it. So once you're pulled, and they can pull you over for a tail light being out, you didn't signal when you went over mm-hmm. to the next lane, speedy, you know, bobbing and weaving in and out of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is for sure, and I always, you know, Felicia, you're absolutely right. DUIs are the most expensive, you know, event a person can have in their life. State troopers are trained to observe people intoxicated. Like, they can look through your back window and just watch you, right? So the way your head is moving, right? You know, what you're doing, right? They're looking at everything, how your car is shifting, okay? So don't think that they you know, when they pull you over, they have been watching you for a certain amount of time.
That's why I think I'm drunk all the time.
Do you drink all the time?
No, but I have full concerts and all type of stuff going on in my car while I'm driving.
That's different. Like, there's a
difference. But from behind, it probably looks like, he's crazy. Oh, he's having a seizure. He's having some kind of manic breakdown.
Oh, that's not God. That is so not God.
I'm just saying, they don't know what's going on. I'll be having whole gospel concerts.
Oh, goodness. So, once you get pulled over, right?
Uh-oh.
They're going to ask you, like you said, do you want to blow, right? We're going to get into, there is a consequence if you say no, which is there's a difference in the process. You can be arrested on the criminal side, and your driver's license can be affected, meaning the DMV, right? So you have the Secretary of State to deal with, but you also have, right, the criminal side of, you know, going to court before a judge. And so most people think if I beat the case in court, then my license will be okay, and that's not the case. All right, so this year, an aggravating factor for DUI included now if your vehicle, if you were driving the wrong way on a one-way road, right? So now it's considered an aggravating factor for DUI, and clearly because we've had more fatalities, right, when people were driving. Right, on the wrong side of the road. All right, so you say, okay, what happens when, you know, you refuse to submit to a chemical testing, you know, automatic suspension for up to a year. Right, the driving privileges will be suspended because you really can't negate whether you were or were not intoxicated or under the influence of any other drug.
Okay.
Okay. And so sometimes charges are dropped to reckless driving, right?
Yes.
That's on the court side.
Yes.
But on your driving record, it will show you were pulled over for DUI.
Mm. So far on the poll, can you drink and not be drunk? 78% of people say yes.
Okay.
2% of the people say no.
All right. It's a matter of what I had someone tell me, what's the point of drinking if you're not going to get drunk?
Oh, that was, he was an alcoholic.
No, what's the point? Like, if this is altering drugs, so why should not, you know, what's the point of drinking if you're not going to have fun with it?
The late, great Bishop Prophet Robin Harris once said, there's a difference between alcoholics and drunks.
What's the difference?
Alcoholics go to meetings.
That is, okay. Recovering alcoholics now. Recovering alcoholics.
I don't argue with the prophet.
Okay.
I learned a long time ago I argue with the prophet.
Okay.
The late great Robert Harris.
Okay.
Baby and Keith.
So, people who have CDL license.
Uh-oh.
They're more at risk of losing their CDL licenses for good if they have more than one DUI. You know, a lifetime replication can happen. So you know, that's a hurting factor, too, when Felicia said there are expensive consequences. If truck driving or, you know, driving a bus is your livelihood and you get DUIs,
You're done, at least in that state.
Right. Yeah, you're done.
Now you gotta move.
No, well, so this follows you, right? When you have a DUI in another state, let's just say you don't take care of what you need to.
Because, you know, back in the day, the stuff wasn't linked up.
It is now.
They give
you a certain amount of time
to
fix it.
Good.
But some people don't like to fix it, so they figure that what you just said, well,
right.
I can just go back home.
I'm going to go to Indiana and give me a license.
Right. And it doesn't work like that. Systems aren't leaking. There's a hold on it. So you can either come here, and fix your DUI or go there. But guess what? You're governed by their DUI rules.
Wow.
Right. So whatever they say you have to do to get your license back, you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So on your first offense, when you refuse to blow, actually your driving privileges are suspended for 6 months. Right.
Wow.
On your second one, the second one, and you refuse to blow, you're suspended for 1 year.
Wow.
All right, so that's a refusal or failing. I'm sorry. No, let's get that right. Failing the test.
Right, conviction, right. Mm-hmm.
Failing the test.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
6 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
Suspension.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first offense.
Mm-hmm.
The second one,
mm-hmm.
right, if you get it within the 5 years of the first one,
mm-hmm.
your privileges for driving are suspended for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about that, if you get a DUI every 5 years, right, eventually you're going to get revoked, right, because when you get, we're going to talk about that, they soon become aggravated DUIs,
mm-hmm.
right, after a certain number. All right, so believe it or not, we know people still drive on suspended license.
No license.
Yes.
Right, just obvious.
Yes.
Negative.
Yes. So refusing to submit to a chemical testing, I was right the first time, 12 months suspension.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you say it's almost like a time thing because the Secretary of State still proceeds with his process when you get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you get arrested and the DMV says, okay, you got arrested on this day. This is a penalty. You did not submit to a breathalyzer. Automatic. Yes, you got dropped down to, reckless driving because you got a good lawyer
mm-hmm.
on the criminal side, but sometimes that doesn't help you on your driver's license side.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The second offense within 5 years and you refuse to blow,
mm-hmm.
you get suspended for 3 years.
Mm.
Right. So that's why I say, you know, a lot of people don't understand there's two systems you have to work with,
mm-hmm.
the Secretary of State and the criminal court side. All right? So that's kind of where we are, you know, when we're talking about, the DUI laws. It's kind of like, okay, do we really understand the impact of the laws, right? And you know, when we come back in December, we're going to talk about the whole process of a DUI. In terms of what do you have to go through to get your license back,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's a different process, but it can be very tedious. But tonight I just want to get out there. What happens when you drink when you say I'm only having one drink?
Mm-hmm.
Clearly we know that some of our drinks we can have 2 to 3 drinks, and depending on what it is and how many shots in there, we can get up to sometimes 8 drinks in one sitting.
Mm.
All right. So I hope that you don't go out this door, my producer. You got real quiet. I know what you're doing up there, but I think you're real quiet thinking about it.
I've been working on your show. Like, you over there trying to ride. I'm working on your show, making sure your stuff right. Trying to make sure your stuff, people can see you and hear you, and you want to talk right here. I went and participated a little early in Taco Tuesday. I had no problem. So I don't think my little 6 margaritas did. I'm just playing.
Oh, my God.
I just thought I was putting it out there. But I don't think my little beverage, that my little libation that I had, had no reference on anything. But I had a math teacher. I'm gonna believe Mr. Boyd is no longer with us on the day.
Are you serious?
But
he has family.
Okay, this is true. That he did. But I had a math teacher at Austin High School when I was my sophomore and junior year. Mr. Boyd kept something in his coffee every day.
Really?
Absolutely. He was what we call. I know we said there's no such thing as a functioning alcoholic. I remember having that discussion
mm-hmm.
with you about that. But he was a functioning. He went to work every day. Yeah. And was a great, math teacher,
mm-hmm.
but he couldn't do it without that. And then
right.
he left school every day and walked down 2 blocks to the bar that was right there. Oh, somebody help me out. What's the bar that's on Madison and Pine, or it used to be right next to the dentist's office? Madison, if I know, used to be a jewel where Lennington is. So across the street, you had Emmett. Grammar school, elementary school. Then you had Pine, and
okay.
then you had the dentist office, Madison Street Dentist.
Okay.
And then right next to that was a as the black folks say, was a tavern. And he used to go to the tavern. School got out at 2:25. Mr. Boyle was at the tavern at 3:10.
Mm.
Huh? Every day.
Wow.
Cause we'd be on the bus. Hey, Mr. Boyle. Hey, how y'all doing?
Okay.
Yeah, you went straight to the tavern.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, the goal for today was to really just tell you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be fooled with the red party cup. Don't be fooled, right, with the homemade, you know,
it's like it's today, it's
bar. Yeah. What?
It's over. That's it.
Oh, well, we talk. You just want to talk about alcohol.
I thought there was so much more. I mean, you were helping the people. I just thought we didn't really get to tequila. We were having so much tequila. You never talked about. You never addressed tequila. You got the rum. You missed on cognac.
What about it?
I mean, there's been.
What's the name of the glass you drink with cognac?
It would be a Brandy Snifter. A wide rimmed glass.
And how many ounces would you say you should drink?
Well, a proper pour of cognac would probably be about 3 ounces.
Okay.
A good pour.
So we know that's 3 drinks.
So it'd be 2 of those
yes.
glass, 2 of
yes.
those loaves. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah, a proper pour of good cognac would be about 3 ounces.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's not something you gulp, it's something you sip.
You sip
over an occasion. So you don't pour a cognac and be like, aye, that's not what you. This ain't gin. This ain't tequila shots.
Right.
It's just cognac. And I'm not talking that dishwater stuff, Hennessy, that people limited education folks. Drink Hennessy. I'm talking about Courvoisier, a good XO or El Presidente.
Do you think that that's because one of the things you make a good point is that people drink alcohol really fast.
They don't know how to drink
right?
it. They don't know how to enjoy it.
You ask people, especially with what I do. Even if they like drinking, right? Do they even like the taste of it?
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes they say no. So it's like, how thin do you, how thin do you drink that fast
mm-hmm.
in the amount of, because a lot of, they give the time frame. With DUI work,
right.
you give the time frame that you consume the drink,
right.
when you left. So you'd be surprised, like, we're still talking a short amount of time for consuming alcohol, but they're mostly distilled liquors. So when you say that, it's like, you hear the stories, hey, you should feel warm going down, whatever those
people
times.
People don't understand, especially when you're talking about mixed drinks. So, Felicia trying to be funny, talking about we should switch seats because I think we know more.
Right, that's what I said. So
right.
You are so right.
Well, I wasn't invited
clearly,
to come on the show.
I was just talking about how much,
she had the proper material. I would be on the other side of the glass. Now you just don't hear the voice of the one on the other side over here. But with mixed drinks, people have a really bad habit of thinking that they drink a lot because they don't really taste the alcohol.
Correct.
So a lot of times you find them drinking faster because they don't taste the alcohol.
Right.
So that's one group. Those are people, and most of the time, those are people that get drunk the fastest
mm-hmm.
because they don't realize that they're getting drunk. That's why vodka
right.
and things like that, vodka is one of the drinks. Good vodka you don't taste.
Mm-hmm.
Good
mm-hmm.
vodka has a real light hint of anything, and if you put in enough juice and everything else, you would drink vodka all day long, think, oh, this is sweet, until you stand up and realize you can't see. Right? But the better alcohols or the finer vodka, the finer cognacs, they were made for sipping.
Right.
But see, people don't know that. You drink wine, you sip cognac. There's a difference.
Maybe you should host a party.
Okay.
Tanya,
you're listening? Okay. She'll start planning in a minute. Come on, hold it
up. You think about people and how they start drinking to begin with,
mm-hmm.
right? So you know, I hear a shift and what people start drinking when they first have their drink.
Absolutely.
So people start out, you know, years ago when I started out, it was beer. Okay, I started out drinking beer first, and then I, you know, escalated up.
Mm-hmm.
But we have people now starting out with distilled liquor, their tolerance, right, happens much quicker. So now they're drinking, you know, the pints, the half pints, and now I have people who buy gallons, right, and they don't monitor how much they drink it. So when you ask, literally, can you tell me about your drinking patterns, that's hard sometimes, right? And you
right.
say, well, we can talk now about it because we just about know our drinking patterns. We know, okay, this is what I typically drink and when I drink. But for someone who we call a recreational drinker, that's why we kind of tips into,
right.
let's sit down and talk about,
right,
how much have you consumed within the last 30 days and at what rate? So even if you consume a 12-pack of beer,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
between Friday and Saturday,
mm-hmm.
that's a lot,
mm-hmm.
right, because we know that we said one standard drink was a 12-ounce beer.
Correct.
You're drinking a 12-pack on each day.
Well, yeah, but again, you have those who don't have, they're not, because you have younger generation of younger drinkers,
yes,
unfortunately,
you do.
These days.
Yes, whether we like it or not, underage drinking.
And they are drinking whatever they either find in the house
right.
or what they find at their friend's house. And depending on the friend they go to, it might just be wine. Okay, that's fine.
Right.
You know,
right.
grandma's getting
right.
all of us a sip of wine at some point back in the day.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, or you go to that other friend's house and they ain't sipping wine.
Right.
They drinking tequila or whiskey.
Right.
So, you're finding, and they're drinking it. And here's the difference. Because I'm only saying this and not to be joking, but, you know, because of those of us in the church, you know, there are people who feel a certain way about drinking in Christianity. Well, biblically, water was bad during that time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they drank wine with every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner,
okay.
because water was not easy. So it was easier to take the grapes and use that because the grapes and everything, they would use that instead of the water because the wine was better. You know, it was easier to make wine than it was to get clean water.
Okay.
Because nobody had figured out yet how to distill or clean or purify
right.
water. That hadn't been invented in the B.C. before Christ and even A.D. after Christ, right? So it took a long time before that thing happened. So they drank wine with every meal, but they drank wine like water, though. So they used, that's why you always saw, think about it, wine goblets. They
right.
drank out of goblets or large vessels of wine because that was their water. So they
okay.
drank it like we would drink Kool-Aid, right? That's how they drank it. So we would do that, but then now people are drinking wine and alcohol the same way. They're drinking
still
it.
Liquors, yes.
They're drinking it as though it is, and again, because not that we would do it, but I think people should go to wine. Like if you go to a wine tasting,
yes.
Wine tasting show you how to drink. They give you.
Everybody.
What? Wine tastings are free, most of them. A lot of them free.
And I think that that's where, as a culture, whether that be by age, right,
mm-hmm.
or ethnicity, race, in terms of what's more socially acceptable, right? And so a lot of peer pressure goes into
mm-hmm.
what we drink and how much we drink.
Mm-hmm.
And so much so to
mm-hmm.
the point where this is a tough one, too, because we can have arguments over who's more sober or who's less intoxicated to drive us home,
mm.
right? And so anytime you have to have that type of dialogue, you know, it's something to look at, because now we're saying you're absolutely not monitoring, right, how much you drink at one occasion.
Right.
Right. So that question, that poll question that asks, you know, hey, what is it possible to drink and not get drunk? That's a tough question, actually.
Yes,
right, because then you have to ask, you know, why am I drinking then if I'm not expected to feel some effect?
Right.
Right, but what happens when I've been drinking this certain amount for a prolonged period of time?
Right.
And I'm not getting my desired effects anymore?
Right.
So I'm pouring a little bit more, or I'm having a heavier, generally we see someone switch from the light, you know, distilled liquors to the dark liquors, or from beer right to the higher proof. So we see the escalation.
Well, and then
right,
people normally find out their tolerance when they go on vacation.
That is true.
We are a little bit more, we are less inhibited. If this is the word we use, yeah. We're less inhibited when we're on vacation. And then also depending on where we're staying and all that good stuff.
Right.
You have that whole, don't mess around and stay at some place that's all inclusive.
Right.
Cause now
at breakfast, lunch,
right. So you wake up when you get off the boat or off the bus, wherever you have, you get to where you're going, they're handing you a mimosa.
Yes.
You know, unless it's Jamaica and it's rum punch.
Oh my God. Huh? That's why we needed to shut it down, because you keep having these flashbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to help the people. I'm through.
Yes, yes. So we hope that, you know, we take away from this that don't underestimate how many drinks you think you're drinking, meaning standard drinks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the higher the proof, okay, ethanol, which is that key ingredient that gets you intoxicated, the less you can have of it, all right? So those cocktail drinks with multiple liquors in it, you can just about whatever liquor is in it, just count that as a drink.
Especially those blue endeavors. I'm just saying, it was the way you said it.
I was trying to figure out how I was gonna say it, because it's a common drink that people, you know, in my experience, this is what they have consumed when they get that and Long Island iced tea.
Yeah, but I just,
so once then they
I
say, well, I only had three Long Island iced tea.
I was caught off guard by that one.
You know, well, how many drinks do you think that is? Right? That's almost 12 drinks. Right? And listen, I also want you to understand that that a lot, your body weight, your gender, right, your size, that plays a part in how quickly your body absorbs the alcohol.
Right.
Some people think, you know, well, I had, you know, a lot of food before I consumed alcohol. That just slows down the absorption rate. Doesn't mean you're going to be any less drunk
right.
than the next person who eats a lot.
Right,
you know,
eat a lot of french fries and potatoes.
Why are you telling to do what? What is that going to do?
I just found people make sure they eat. And a lot of bread, a lot of potatoes will help you. But if anybody wants, you know, because I'm trying to recall, if anybody wants the recipe for the blue endeavor, it's like a half ounce of vodka, half ounce of rum, half ounce of tequila.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here, half ounce of tequila. To make it blue, if you curacao, half of sweet and sour,
you know,
and then one more.
Google would say that for me.
Oh, okay. And then 5 ounces of 7 Up is right, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, when I looked up recipes for these drinks, people had different amounts.
Yes.
So you can also get thrown off as well.
Yeah, Felicia said fried chicken.
Fried. To slow down the absorption rate for
the grease. It's the grease. Just go to Jimmy's. Go to Jimmy's and get you a two hot dog special.
God.
Go to Jimmy's and get you a two hot dog special. You know, the fries they throw in the bottom of the bag. Just eat all the fries. And you good for the rest of the night.
You think you're good.
I'm just trying to tell you what I know. I'm just trying to help the people.
Okay.
Thomas.
Okay.
I'm trying to help the people.
Well, great people, let's watch how much we drink. Understand, time is the only thing that can protect White Castle.
No. See? No.
Time is the only thing.
No.
Right? That we need to let alcohol metabolize out of our body. So really, you know, some people, you know, we're definitely going to get into a little later, the impact that alcohol has on your body when you drink it excessively.
Absolutely. It ages you.
Yeah, and so I've seen people's, obviously, skin change color, their nails change color, their eyes begin to turn, you know, yellowish, and they actually start to feel sick now when they drink,
mm-hmm.
right, which tells me that, you know, some issues with their organs are happening. So so really, really thinking about that, I say pay more attention to your serving size, right? You know, cups matter. Right. If you're allowing someone else to make your drink, you know, it's not a defense when you say, well, someone gave me this.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know what you're being given. Mm-hmm. Right. You need to understand. We feel pretty safe if we go to an establishment because
mm-hmm.
we know they are regulated. But when we're going to social events or, you know, a hired bartender, right, that, you know, you know, don't chance that.
Just call your boy.
Would that be you?
Bishop Petty, I'll come through and
oh my God.
Yeah, that's my name, Bishop Petty.
Okay. All right. So we hope that you have enjoyed the show, right? You know, understanding there's a lot of alcohol out there.
Sure will.
And you know, I took a trip to the liquor store
and came in here with nothing.
I didn't say I went today. I went back in the day when I started doing treatment because I had to understand the Irish roads and all those kind
of. That'd be wild Irish road. It ain't just Irish. That'd be wild Irish.
That thing make you feel like your head is about to explode.
I don't know. I've never tasted it. Dr. Thomas, so you've had wild Irish rice?
I have not.
How do you know that you feel like it is about to explode? Is what people told you?
Yeah, and this is at different times.
See, but like, so you say you don't have any independent study information on this.
Meaning myself?
As an independent. I didn't want to take that. I don't think you have to say independent.
I will admit, there are some things that I just cannot try.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Because I tell you smoke crack and tell us what crack is like. I asked you to smoke no crack. I was just trying to figure out what. And just for clarification,
okay.
White Castle Felicia LaShawn Brown.
Really? What are you about to say?
White Castle is for afterwards, never for before. White Castle is to help you afterwards. Because first of all, you got to be somewhat wrong with you anyway. You can go get White Castle. So that's telling if you go to eat White Castle,
they like White Castle.
Yeah, and if White Castle, if anybody from White Castle, the main company is listening and they would like to be a sponsor, we would take all this back. But meantime, White Castle is something you have to have a craving, meaning something has to be in your, you know, you might be inebriated going to get White Castle. Regina asked as what she says, you got an alarm in your body that will speak to you and say, that's it, no, don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank God for the snooze button. Huh? Come on.
All right, great people. There's going to be a part two where we talk about how does drinking, multiple drink, binge drinking, how can that lead into abusive patterns of alcohol and alcohol dependence.
Would we be doing any binge drinking on that?
No, we would not. So, until then, watch those drinks, watch who's making it, alright?
Yeah. We don't go to drink and brought this in here.
Would I just interview them?
Yes!
Have a great evening, great people. It's been real. Alright, next week we talked about anxiety and rage, so get ready, right? What happens when you have anger issues and you're mad at the world, alright? Have a pillow, get out of here.